It's all about Christ's love. He loves you and I so much that he wrote a love letter to us. Each one of these letters was a letter of love from God. You know, if you love somebody and you see they're doing something that's harming themselves, would you warn them or would you just ignore what they were doing? So God writes this letter to you and I in love. And tonight I ask you to join with us if you can. We're going to come together and have a corporate prayer meeting tonight where we're going to weep and mourn before the Lord. Amen. You know what we're weeping for? We're weeping and praying for the churches around the nation, not just Greatest Freedom Ministries, but his church. We're weeping and mourning for our family members and our loved ones and that God loves them and that they would have a revelation and an understanding and that they would see and that love of God. That no matter what the world pretends to be, it's fake. It's not real. God gives real love, pure love, unmerited love. Amen. In the world, you love somebody because they do something for you. You do something for them. That's the world standard of love. God's love says, I love you no matter what. I just love you because I love you. Amen. And I don't know about you, but it makes me feel good inside that God loves me so much. You know, even when I slip up and I mess up, he still loves me. And when you know what really blesses my heart? I know how much I love my children and my grandchildren, but that God loves them more than I do. And I can't even comprehend that kind of love. I know the Father's love, and I'm trying to learn his love. Amen? So we looked last week, and we looked at the apostolic church. And I want to say something to you, and some people forget. Greatest Freedom Ministries was called for an apostolic ministry. We were called to be like other churches. We were called for something unique. And it's not anything about us. It's what God chose to do. And I believe that God has strategically placed places and ministries like this all around the nation and all around the world. And I believe that as the end times come, there's going to be a revival that breaks forth. And the glory of God's going to fill the place. And people are going to come from the nations to come in and take the glory out to the nations. And the Lord said that when he showed us those rainbows. He told us what he was going to do. Then he had a prophetess come in and affirm everything that God said he was going to do. Amen? Someone that no one knew nothing about us, came in and affirmed what God had spoke to this ministry and about in the vision of this ministry. And so many times we get off of the path, and what God wants us to do, he just wants us to return and do the first works. Get back to the love. And you know what? Love drew you here today. You know what drew you here today? Because we were fasting and praying. And when we pray, things change. And then all of a sudden, some of the things that weren't around, all of a sudden they're back. Because love changes things. Amen? Love changes things. In other words, we want that love of God to shine through our hearts and lives so that when someone comes through the doors of this place, that they sense the love of God. You know, they're not coming in here feeling criticized or judged. There's enough of that going on in the world. Amen? You know, love will cover a multitude of sins, the Bible says. You know, so God just wants our love to balance. So the first week, man, we're just praying about returning to our first love and doing the first things. Amen? And now today, we're looking at week two. So the fast that we're fasting for the Church of Ephesus ends tonight. And then we're going to start Monday with the Church of Smyrna. And in the insert, in your bulletin, we have a little insert that talks about the Church of Smyrna and what Jesus was speaking about, just give you understanding in your prayer direction. And again, we're praying for the ecclesia, the assembly, the body. And so we're praying that for the church, this ministry and ministries and churches around the world. You know, when I look at the Church of Smyrna today, this is the persecuted church. And I don't think that we even can comprehend what persecution really is. I don't think anyone in the room has really ever witnessed true persecution. I want to say something The Holy Spirit just dropped this in my heart. History has a way of repeating itself. So as Jesus is speaking to the church ages, history has a way of repeating itself. God, through the apocalypse, through the revelation, is revealing the love of Jesus and God to you and I. But he's also revealing our adversary. He's shown us the ways that he comes in. Just as Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and changes not, Satan has no new tricks. Jesus showed us every avenue and way that he'll try to come in to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he gave us this so that we could be in protection, so that we could be preserved, so that we could endure through the trials and the tests. You know, this church of Smyrna and this church age, that's what I'm talking about. You know, historians say there's approximately about 5 million people that were martyred and killed for Christ in this church age. They were put in arenas, and the spectators watched them being devoured by lions. They would cover them with carcasses of animals and watch wild dogs eat them. They would have mass crucifixions. They would boil them publicly in oil. They would cover them with tar and use them for torches and set them on fire. You know, this church was really witnessing some persecution. But you know what was amazing? The church was still growing in the midst of it all. In the midst of it all, it was still growing and growing stronger because they had a revelation of what they were representing and who they were believing in. Amen? And so when these trials and these storms came, amen, they were holding on to their anchor. Their anchor holds. Hallelujah? Amen? And you know what they had a revelation of? That the life in this life compares to nothing, is nothing compared to eternity. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Amen? So open your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 2, and we'll begin to read with verse number 8. When you're there, say amen. He says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and last, which was dead and is alive." Now, let me say this. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. When Jesus was in Matthew 11, when Jesus was with Martha and Mary and they were going to the grave of Lazarus, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die, believeth thou this." In other words, he was saying, spiritually, you're not going to die. He hasn't defeated death yet, but in the spirit, we go from life to life. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So when this corruptible dies and goes back into ground, our spirit man is caught up to heaven to be with the Lord. And he says, "I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. You may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days or for a season or a period. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that have an ear to hear, have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." I want to focus your attention today for this message on verse number 9. He says, "I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." The title of this morning's message is A Deeper Revelation of Wealth. A Deeper Revelation of Wealth. I'm going to speak to you today about the battle, about the bottom, about the blessing, and about the blasphemy we find in this scripture. The battle, the bottom, the blessing, and the blasphemy. Can we lift our words together and make a declaration in the house? Say, "I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have what God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, for I am listening. My ears are open and my heart is receptive. In Jesus' name. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that you sent your word here to this house to accomplish what you sent it here to do. Now, Father, I pray, even as Isaiah prayed, that you send the angel to the altar, and may the angel take the tongs and take those coals and place them upon these lips, Father God. May the words that proceed out of my mouth be edifying to every hearer. May it bring them exhortation and comfort, Father God. And your word declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Father God, as your word goes forth, it'll accomplish what you sent it to do. And Father, we thank you for each and every one, Father God, that they'll respond to the call in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. I have to say something that, I was praying for a lot of guidance and direction in my fast this week, and time in fasting and praying, and I was praying God for direction and whatever. But every time I get with my daddy, he just talk about stuff I need to get right in my life. Amen. But he gently and lovingly comes in and reveals himself in love. He doesn't come in and condemn me. He doesn't criticize me. He's not critical. He's just a loving God. Amen. Amen. So I pray as we minister God's word today and God speaks to each and every one of them, that you sense and feel the love of God, that God loves you so much. You know, I think about that, and where the word declares that while I was yet in my sins, Christ died for me. Man, that's love. Amen. But when I was looking at this, and each one of the letters, that Jesus wrote to the seven churches, he always says the same thing. I know your works. He holds the seven stars, which are the seven angels, and he walks amongst the seven candlesticks, or the seven churches, or the church as a whole. So he's walking amongst them, and he knows everything that's going on. You know, I was looking at that, and that I know that works comes from the. Before we get into the message, I just want to give you a little foundation. Works comes from the Greek word ergon, ergon. And ergon is acts of kindness. Acts of kindness. Amen? Acts of love. Things that we do out of a heart of kindness or generosity or reaching out to the other. He says, I know that works. You know, James would say in James 2:17, he says, let's just turn there. You there? Let me just turn. You might want to write down some scriptures because I'm going to be all over the place probably. But in 2:17 it says, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And verse 20 says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead, being alone. Understand something with me this morning. As God's revealing the love of God, for by grace we are saved by faith. Our works don't save us. Faith saves us. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, my works and the things I do for the kingdom of God, I do out of love. Amen? If I'm walking in, and if I'm in him and he's in me, and he is love, I've got to be walking in love. Amen? I'll be walking in love. Matter of fact, even when Paul was teaching about the resurrection, the rapture, when he said this mortal shall take on immortality in 1 Corinthians 15, and this corruptible shall take on incorruptible, then death's going to be swallowed up in victory, speaking out final defeat of physical death. But then he says in verse 58, he says, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. So, you know, and Jesus always talks about works in the Bible. If you go to Matthew 25, there's three parables: the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the five, the two and the one talents, the parable of the goats and the sheep. He said what? And the goats and the sheep, he said, hey, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in a prison hospital and you came to see me. I was in prison and you visited me. And they said, when did we do these things unto you? And he said, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So our acts of kindness, Jesus is taking note of the things we do for the kingdom of God, for the furtherance of the kingdom. Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know what? We live in this life 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. In an average, I believe the things we do for the kingdom in this lifetime is first fruits of what we'll do in the millennial reign when we reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. Amen? 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 Why did he say? He said, the last will be first and the first will be last. So in other words, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing the things I'm doing. I'm not doing it to rule for 1,000 years or to reign for 1,000 years. The things we do on this earth is because we love the Lord. And Jesus said this. Jesus said, "The love of the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, the soul, and with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself." That's the fulfillment. The whole law was held in these two. So when we're doing these things and we're reaching out and we're ministering and we're loving one people, we're just doing what we're naturally, it should come natural to us. Amen? So he's coming into these churches. He's saying, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, he said, charge them that are rich in this world not that they not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Amen? So the things we're doing, he's charging us that we're to have walk in compassion. You know, if I'm in Christ and you're in Christ, then we're walking in love of God. Amen? So the only reason I wanted to go here, this wasn't about the message, but in every letter he says, "Well, I know thy works." In other words, he sees what they're doing. Amen? He's walking amongst us. The Bible says, "Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst of them." He's walking in here today. Have we gathered here in his name today? We gathered in his name today, so he's in our presence. Not only is he inside of me, but he's in the atmosphere. Amen? And he sees there, he's looking and he's guiding and directing us. He says, "Well, I know thy works." Then he says, "In tribulation." In tribulation, we're going to call that battles. That we're going to go through battles in this lifetime. Tribulation comes through the Greek word philipsis. It's spelled T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. Philipsis is troubles. You're going to go through some time of trouble in this world. You know, the Word of God says, and Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Amen. He said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Amen. So turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter 5. When you get there, say amen. We're talking about philipsis. We're talking about he sees this persecuted church. He sees the battle that they're going through. Paul writes to the church in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you that you may have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations or in troubles, knowing that tribulations work of patience or endurance, and endurance, experience, or trustiness, and experience, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, here's what the Lord was showing me. I went to the hardware, and I got some chains. Now, this chain here represents the children. This chain has been tested to carry 16 pounds of weight. It's been tested. In other words, God will never allow more on someone than they can bear. Then when you come to the Lord as a young man or a young woman, you come with childlike faith. And this is a chain will bear 90 pounds of weight. 90 pounds, this chain of cover. Then you desire the sincere milk of the word that you grow thereby. And this chain will hold 500 pounds. And then you become a leader. And this chain will hold 1,900 pounds. Now, this is why I'm telling you this. What I want you to understand is, if you were in a building and there was 1,500 pounds of weight and you had to work underneath of it, it was held by this chain, wouldn't you be happy to know that that chain had been tested? Wouldn't you be happy to know that that chain could hold the weight? And what God is saying to you and I is, when we go through trials and tests, and that test works endurance, and endurance, trustiness, because we have the elpis or the hope, or we have the expectation, because we know that God has a plan. Amen. And even this chain is galvanized so the rust doesn't eat it too. And we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. In other words, God will not put more on you than you can bear. And when he tries you, he is seeing if you're going to be faithful. Will you stand strong? How can you lead if you won't stand the test? You know, I if I'm going to follow somebody, I want to follow somebody that's been tested. Amen. And God is raising you up to be leaders and ministers for the kingdom of God. And you're going through some tests. But the trial of your faith is going to work some endurance. And this endurance, trustiness, and this trustiness is held on to the hope that you have in no other than Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. In other words, he is never going to put more on you can bear. You come as a child, he ain't going to put more on you can bear. It's childlike. It'll hold a little bit of weight. This will hold a little bit more. A little bit more. He isn't going to try to get you to carry this 1,900 pounds with this chain in this place. He says to us, much given, much required. Much given, much required. So in other words, what he is saying, when you're going through these things, he's growing something in you. Amen? He's growing something in you. You know, and I know in the ministry, we go through all kinds of trials and we go through all kinds of tests, because God has called us to take his glory to the nations. And if God's called us to take his glory to the nations, we're going to be tried. Amen? I, you know something? I get emails every week from people all around the nation that want to get connected with Greatest Freedom Ministries. And God has established that God's going to do it. And it's in God's timing. You know, God is strengthening me. He's strengthening you. Amen? That thing that you've been going through, It's for your benefit. Amen. You say, well, Lord, why you do that to me? You love me. You wouldn't let that happen. He says, well, I love you. That's why I'm letting it happen. Amen. So I can strengthen you through it all. Amen. You know, nothing's ever wasted. God uses everything. Amen. You know, sometimes the enemy will bring things in, and God will use that for his glory also. Amen. Amen. So I thought that was good. Hallelujah. Smile, Jesus loves you. You know, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4:8. Get this revelation in our hearts today. Verse number 6, 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. Amen. And in other words, this earthen vessel, amen, this vessel. And it's when you can't do it, that's when you need the Lord's strength. If we say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me, Paul said, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Amen. In other words, if I'm getting worn out, I'm doing it on my strength, not his strength, and my strength isn't strong enough. Yep. The Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord, that he will renew your strength. Amen. In other words, even when I'm weary and I'm worn out in the natural, as I wait upon the Lord, he renews my strength and I'll mount up with wings as eagles. In other words, I'll start soaring. I'll run and not grow weary. I'll walk and not faint, because it's in him. It's in his strength. And what he was looking at this church, he was saying, this growing church in the midst of this persecution, he says, I know thy works and thy tribulation, the Philippians, the trouble. And he's looking at, even in the midst of it, they're faithful. They're still moving forward. They're still growing. They're still standing strong. They're letting themselves be strengthened in God's power and God's might. Amen. Amen. Then he says, I know thy poverty. In poverty, he says. You know, when I saw that, what came to my heart was bottom. When you're at the bottom of the barrel. When you're at the bottom of the barrel. And, of course, if we're going to look at the bottom of the barrel, turn your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 17. We find a widow woman with her two sons. There's a famine in the land, and she's at the bottom of her barrel. The Word of God says in verse number 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she's going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after that make thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And what the Lord was saying to me is, this church in the midst, this wasn't a rich church, this was a poor church. They seemed to be at the bottom of their barrel, but God always supplied. God always provided. God always was there. What did the widow woman do? She honored God in the midst of her need, not in the midst of her abundance. When she was in a place of lack, she honored God first. She brought to the man of God first. It wasn't just about the man of God. It was the act of obedience to the word that was spoken by God. As she acted up in obedience, the balance that was in the bottom of her barrel was blessed and began to increase. That's why the word of God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. As you give, shall men give to your bosom. With the same measure that you meet will be measured unto you. In other words, when you find yourself at the bottom of the barrel, that's not the time to start questioning God. That's the time to start believing God. That's the time to give, and you'll be given back to you. That's the time to honor God in his word. That's the time to bring forth your first fruits. That's the time to believe God and trust him that he will not watch over and provide for you. Now, the word of God says, my God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. How many in this room have imagination? Let me see your hands. Praise God. Can you use your imagination for a moment with me? How many know what a trust fund is? A trust fund is a certain amount of money that's set apart for a certain time that you can get at a certain time. Now, imagine right now that everyone in the room has a $10 million trust fund. Come on, got to get in your mind. I got a $10 million trust fund. In other words, if I had a $10 million trust fund and I'm facing some difficulty now, would I look at it in a different light knowing that I had a $10 million trust fund? Would I see my financial situation differently if I had revelation and I had a $10 million trust fund? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I go, I will come back for you. And where I am, there you may be also. He said, you are a millionaire. Get it in your mind. Get it in your heart. You're kings and priests. You may not have it in this lifetime, but you've got a trust fund. Trust the Lord that has the fund set up for you. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills that they stand upon. He knows everything that you have need of. Amen. In other words, if we go through life now with a revelation that I have a trust fund, I'm never going to look at my financial dilemmas in the same way. I'll never see them in the same light. I'll never look at them the same. That's the revelation that God wants to get into our hearts and our lives today. Amen. Now, my friends, this lifetime compares nothing to eternity. Nothing. This is but a breath. This is but a breath. The Bible says life is but a vapor. Amen. I remember a couple years ago, I was 25. Hallelujah. It just seems like a couple years ago. Amen. And I believe if we get that in our heart and we get a revelation that what we're doing here has eternal weights of glory. Amen. 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 You know, it just blows my mind, the love of God. But he just wants us to get revelation. He wants to uncover the kingdom for you and I that he purchased for you and I through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We get it all by trusting in him. Every time I get off track, I got to go back to the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Amen. That's where the joy of the Lord is my strength, no matter what I'm going through. When I'm going through trials and I'm going through tests, His strength is made perfect in my weakness. He's strengthening me. He's testing me. When I'm going through a time of, and I'm in the valley, he's trusting me. He's doing something in me. He's building something that's in me. He just wants us to get a revelation of who our true provider is. He's our provider. Everything we have is from him. Everything we have is from him. He's the creator. He created this masterpiece just for us to take part of. It's just like he created this beautiful picture and we get to jump into the photo. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, I know the tribulation, the battles, the trouble that you go through, and poverty, and that sometimes you may be at the bottom of the barrel. He says, then he puts in parentheses, but thou art rich. How many children of God do we have in here? We're rich. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse number 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Amen. You know, and James chapter 2, James 2, 5 says, hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? He said, but you despise the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name of by the which you are called? If you fulfill the rule of law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, thy do well. Amen? In other words, God has reached us. God cares about every last one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the what? The poor. To heal the brokenhearted. To deliver the captives. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. That's the season and that's the time that we're in. Amen. But he says, I know thy works. Tribulation. And poverty. But thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And we look at the blasphemy. And I want you to understand something here, what Jesus is speaking about. A Jew, we're looking at the church. He's speaking to the church. He's not speaking to the Jewish nation. He's speaking to the church. This is a letter amongst the churches. This is the churches. So if you look at Romans chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 29. The word of God says, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. In other words, this is a heart condition. He's speaking to Christians. Remember where Paul said, the natural branch was broken off, so the unnatural branch, we could be grafted in, okay? And we were grafted in, and we would be like a Jew. We're a child of God. We've been grafted into the family of God by our heart condition. By our heart condition, because we trust the Lord with all of our heart, because we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, that says we shall be saved. So it's believing in Jesus and the resurrection. So even as we're looking through this and we're going through, he said, hey, those that blaspheme and the synagogue of Satan. And when I was asking him about that, it was sort of like he took me to 2 Timothy 3:5. And he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Amen? It's either real or it's not. This ain't no half truth. It's the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. It's the whole truth. It's the whole truth from Genesis to Revelations and everything in between. Amen? God is looking for his church to speak the word, the true word, not to water it down to make it feel good to everybody that comes in the room. Truth of the matter is, sin is sin. Love is love. So what is God saying to you and I? Basically, in closing today, what is he saying? He said, hey, as a ministry, as a church, you're going to go through some battles. Sometimes you may be at the bottom of the barrel. God wants you to know that you're blessed. Amen? That you're blessed. You know what? The Lord was speaking to my heart about this. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, in Ephesians 5, Paul was teaching about husband and wives and how a husband and a wife ought to treat one another. And all in the midst of this, in Ephesians 5, 27, he says that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And that's a picture of a bride. She's a virgin. She's covered in white and every hair's in place. Her makeup's all in order. And she is perfect. Nothing's out of place. That is the church or the assembly that God's looking for. He's not saying that anybody in the room is perfect. But the foundation, but the belief is pure and holy. So in the midst of turmoil in the world, that people can come in and find the purity of God. And that doesn't mean, you know, I said something once that, you know, I built this church and this church was perfect and there wasn't anything that was out of order. Then I walked in. I'm not saying before you I'm perfect and you're not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. And he gave us a perfect plan. And he says to you and I, in James chapter 2, James 2, I'm looking for where I'm looking for. James 1, verse 12, excuse me. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Lord, church, we're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some tests. Sometimes our faith is going to be tried. God wants you to know that his love continues to abound towards you and me. That he loves you so much. That we should see the things. He wants us to be aware of the ways and the avenues that the adversary comes in to try to steal, to kill, and destroy. You see, the adversary, he's subtle. He doesn't come in big ways. But the Bible says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Little by little, and all of a sudden, you know, the Bible says he'll even come in like an angel of light, the very appearance. So God wants you and I, as his church, as we're drawing near to him, to understand that he loves us, he's got a plan in our lives, that even when we go through these battles and we go through these the times when we're at the bottom of the barrel, it seems like that God's going to bless us. Amen. Not everybody's going to totally be blessed in this lifetime. God never promises that in his word. Some will and some won't. But when we trust him with all of our hearts, he's laid up for us. Amen? He's laid up for us. Amen? He's prepared a place for you and I. You know? And when I think of God and His love and His one that created this universe, I go out and I watch a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset. I see the beauty. I can't even imagine the house that God's going to prepare for us and build for us. The Lord was speaking to me, and I want to hear. I want everyone in the sound of my voice to hear this today. It's important. If you've toned down everything, listen to what He says right now. Jesus, when He was looking for people to follow Him, He came up to these fishermen and He said, follow me. He just asked them to follow me. But the key thing is the next verse. The Bible says they forsook their nets and followed Him. They forsook their nets and followed. In closing today, God is asking you to follow Him. He's asking each and every one of us to follow Him. And it's between you and Him what He's asking you to forsake. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for Your word, and we're grateful that You sent Your word here to accomplish what You sent it to this house to do. In the closing moments of the service today, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, or one time you knew Him but you're not at that place you once were and you feel the Lord drawing you back to Him, would you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. Is there anybody at all? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here today? Don't be shy. I'm not at that place I once would. I need to come back to Him. He's asking you to forsake something to follow Him today. Is that you? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here today? Will you follow Him? He's calling you in love. He says, behold, I stand at your heart's door and I knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with you and he with them. He's not going to force Himself in. He's gently knocking. Will you answer one last time? Will you follow Him? I see that hand you put down. Can we all just stand together in the closing moments of the service? We want to say a corporate prayer together. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. Maybe you should have. That's between you and the Lord. For some, this may be a prayer of assurance. You know, I was thinking of that song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. I thank God for blessed assurance, and I thank God that He helps us grow blessed endurance. Amen. So can we pray together? Say, dear Jesus, thank You for the cross of Calvary. Thank You for paying the penalty for my sins. Your word declares that if I believe in my heart that You died on the cross and You rose from the grave, I shall be saved. Lord, today, I declare You as my Lord and my Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for saving my soul and making me whole. Now, Lord, I know You're speaking to some about forsaking something. Ha, nobody wants to say that. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray strength to leave it behind in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord, for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen.